Hello, welcome to Radio Labyrinth, the Gen X pop culture podcast that covers any and all things movies, TV, radio, podcast, books, toilet paper, as long as we like them. I'm your host, Tim Andrews, a regional semi-famous Atlanta radio personality, and these are my co-hosts, Jeff Leboff and Stephanie Swain. Hello.
Hey, hello.
This is season five. I didn't get a hello out of Jeff.
You stuffed his energy.
Why? Where is he? What happened? You there?
You were sweating him about his internet connection.
Oh, no, he's fine. Say hello.
Hello.
This is season five, episode 33. Guys, we have some guests coming up later in the show. I think you're going to like, and we'll tell you about them in a second. But please check out our YouTube page. Dustin Lawler is busting his ass and putting a lot of good content up there, and we really appreciate it. We hope that you guys are liking it. You can find it just by typing Radio Labyrinth in the search bar. Follow us on Twitter at @radio_labyrinth and on Facebook. And we have two pages there. We have an official page and we have the Radio Shack, also run by Dustin Lawler. And sign up for Patreon by going to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. And I've been kicking around a couple of ideas. I think I'm going to lay them all out. Not this week, but definitely next week for sure, for reals. And keep tuned. What I want to do is, I'm worried about this thing where they tax you all the time. So I want to pull away merchandise, even though we'll still have it. We'll figure it out. And you can check out our website where we post the show every week, radiolabyrinthpodcast.com. So our guests tonight, we have a couple of dudes that Steph brought to the show. Justin Brown and Brandon Collins are joining us. They are the hosts of Medium Popcorn, a very good podcast that she introduced us to. So you guys listen. Steph, you obviously have. Jeff, have you listened to any episodes?
I listened to a couple of them. They're good.
Yeah, those dudes are funny, man. And I really love how they deconstruct a film from start to finish, and they have a lot of good stories. Steph, how'd you find out about these guys?
That was just one of those scrolling through Apple Podcasts, probably 3 years ago, I think. Something like that is whenever I stumbled across them. I'm always looking for, funny movie stuff or whatever. And then I listened to one episode. I don't even remember what it was, what movie it was that they did, but I was just hooked instantly because they have a very unique way. Mm-hmm. And they have a very catchy theme song.
Yeah, that song is fucking great. What's the song they use?
It's Easy Lover. I don't know how. Yeah, that's one thing I would ask them, how they got away with it.
Yeah, it's great.
I want to know how they have gotten away without getting sued for using the Easy Lover.
Because it's parody. I think because it's parody.
It's a great parody. But yeah, the song just drew me in, and then I've liked them ever since.
So we're not doing a year this week. We're going to get back to that next week. But when we have a guest, we kind of, leave the room for the guests. So yeah, we'll get back to that. We are updating our Radio Labyrinth playlist, actually creating a new one. And there'll be a link to that here as well in the show notes. We're going to start doing songs from great soundtracks. So it could be any song, and then we just talk about the movie and the soundtrack. Let's see. Radio Labyrinth is brought to you by Atlanta Pizza and Euro, who are open for dine-in services. They are open, which means you can go there and eat. They still provide takeout and curbside service if you prefer that. You don't have to pay ahead of time. Just go to the website, atlantapizzaeuro.com, to order online for pickup or delivery. And remember, they thank each and every one of you who has been supportive through these tough times for the restaurant industry. And by the way, if you've been to Atlanta Pizza and Euro, please leave them a review on Google. That's how you spread the word, and that's how other people will go, oh yeah, I might want to go there because I said a review there and I got 5 stars for their gyros. The gyros are good there. All the food's good there. Go out and say hi to our friend Mike Hall. Right? That's his name.
Yeah. That's his name. Yeah.
That's his name. And we can't forget our friend Brett Perkins and his business LDI Repro Printing of Athens, Georgia. They have all of your construction printing needs, commercial or residential, in Athens, Georgia, since 2005. With fast turnaround and affordable prices, call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com. So our guest is here, in one of them is here in the green room.
Okay.
What is up, everybody?
Hello. Hey, man.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Doing all right, guys. Brandon will be on the way in a second.
All right.
In a second. Cool. How's everybody feeling today?
Good, man. Glad to have you on. How's it going there in New York City?
It's going. I mean, it's just, it's whatever. Like, I'm already settled into this shit show.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is now. I went and bought a bike, so now I'm like, you know, just riding around. That now I feel like that's my outlet. I have to do something.
Are there people on the street when you're out riding the bike, or is it kind of eerie and weird, like stores closed and stuff like that?
Well, you know, now it's much better. Before, like, asked that same question maybe 3 months ago, and it was wild.
Yeah.
It every day felt like New York City at like 5 o'clock in the morning on like a Monday night. It was really weird. But now it's cleared up, though. People are out a little bit more. Still not to the capacity that's, you know, that I'm used to, though.
Right. Well, yeah, it's just nonstop mayhem 24/7 in New York in normal times. Welcome, Brandon, right?
Brandon, can't hear you, buddy.
Can't hear me.
Now we can.
Yeah, there you go.
Can you hear me now? All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we hear you, Brandon. Turn yourself up a little bit, though.
Be quiet, Justin. I'm not talking to you.
I can hardly hear you, dude.
Well, this is great. We haven't had guests in a while, and especially two guests. And just before we get going here, I want to just, you know, introduce you guys. You guys are both actors, comedians, residing or at one point residing in New York City or that area. And you co-host the hugely popular podcast called Medium Popcorn. I'm going to let you describe that in a second so I don't mangle it all up. On to talk about a very cool thing that both of you guys are doing called Medium Popcorn Zoom Movie Night Plus Podcast. And that's just a tease. You know, you guys can talk about that more. But please welcome to the show both Justin Brown and Brandon Collins. Thank you guys for taking the time.
Thanks for having us on, man.
This is such a big deal for me because I'm such a huge fan of you guys. Your podcast. Love it.
You've been for a long time. We really appreciate that.
Well, like I said, as soon as I heard your theme song, I was just scrolling through Apple Podcasts one day, looking, and the theme song, I was like, okay. I'm into this,
These two guys obviously have no sense.
No, I heard that Steph turned us on to the podcast, and I started listening, and I heard the song, and I'm like, oh my God, that's Phil Collins, and what's his name? Bailey.
Philip Bailey.
I always wanted to say Philip Bailey, but OJ's lawyer was not. Yeah, it was.
The sis on that. Oh, man, they're going to come for us.
Yes, but it's great. And then I hear the song you guys singing, or who sings it?
That's all.
It's me singing. Brandon's with the ad libs.
Okay. That's hilarious. And then, you know, right out of the gate, funny from start to finish, knowledgeable from start to finish, no matter what you're talking about. I listened to Tropic Thunder and I laughed the whole fucking time.
Well,
that's a fun movie.
It's probably one of my favorite movies, and it's like one of the wildest things the podcast on, because it's crazy, but it's so real to what the actual business is like. So it hits home.
Yeah. The parody of the industry. I think you brought it up, how they're really mocking the whole Hollywood thing when it comes to making a blockbuster film.
But you
knew a lot of insights too. And that's, you know, we sometimes will break down a show or something like that, but to do a long form podcast about a film, you know, an awful lot about it to make it interesting. Plus you guys are both funny. So that helps.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes we do go down some weird rabbit holes. Like if you ever listen to the Demolition Man episode, I think maybe 10 minutes is actually a review of the movie. The rest is just weird asides. I think at one point, that's where we introduced like me doing a really bad Jay-Z impression. It just went off the rails. People were like, oh, are we even doing a review? Like,
yeah, but that's the best, right?
Well, I mean, we recently had an episode that just turned into a musical. Yeah. So it's like random things. We would just, we would say, you know, Apple, and all of a sudden that would just turn into a song about apples. And then we just sing for half the time. And then we're like, okay, now let's go back to this movie. And it just kept happening throughout the entire. Our podcast is pure insanity.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen.
That's great. That's wonderful.
Yeah, that's what I love about it. That's why it never gets boring. You know, like there's a lot of podcasts that I like and then I'll abandon them. But I always come back to you guys. And especially my favorite is when you do old movies. especially movies where maybe it's Brandon because he's younger and it's his first time seeing it. And it's Justin, I know it's like a movie you saw when you were a kid and you hold in high regard, like one that we like. And Brandon's like, this is cuckoo bananas. What? Why do you like this movie? It's terrible.
Let me set the record straight for a second right here. Brandon is only 2 years younger than me. Brandon loves to talk like I am 72 years old. He is only a mere 2 years younger than me, which would make Brandon 70. So I don't know how he's somehow pumped this rhetoric that I am an old cankerous man. It is untrue, even though I am a bit cankerous, though.
Oh, Stephanie, you just warmed my heart with that. The slow, like, seeds are, like, finally starting to grow for
years. But yeah. To go back to that, like, the Dirty Dancing episode, that's one of my all-time favorites. I love the Dirty Dancing episode, your breakdown of that. And I picture myself as a 13-year-old girl watching that movie, and if I could go back, I would hate that movie immediately.
Yeah. Wild. Patrick Swayze, that was like a breakout performance for both actors. But for me, it was incredibly disturbing. I'm like, why does everyone love this guy? He's a nightmare. He's incredibly abusive. He had Stockholm syndrome at this Jewish camp. This is terrifying.
Yeah, it's absolutely absurd.
Forced his girlfriend to get an abortion, right? Or some chick.
Well, no. His friend got an abortion, but it was blamed on him.
Okay.
So he was blamed that he was the father. But regardless, yeah. The whole thing was just, because like, there's so many times in the movie where you're just like, he's about to beat baby, right? That's what's about to happen right now.
I was watching a bunch of old commercials from 1978 last week because I get bored on YouTube and I'll just sit and watch an hour's worth of old commercials and go, I remember.
Why
that.
Not?
And he was in one, a Burger King ad. He's just sitting there eating a Whopper. And it was goofy with Burger King ads when no one ate there in the 70s and everybody's dancing and they had the King hat. It was crazy.
Oh, man. It's probably back when the burger was actually a burger.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, wasn't George Clooney like in a Burger King ad or something like that back? It was like his first like acting job. Like big. He was in an ad. It's like I remember it showed up on Kimmel or something like that. Where he was just like, oh, yeah, we found an old ad of yours, and it's George Clooney, like in a Burger King or McDonald's ad or something like that. It's really weird. But it's funny. It's just like, yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. That ER mullet, yeah. Or when he was Joe's boyfriend on Facts of Life, he had that awful mullet there, too.
Yeah, it's funny. But, you know, I think the thing I love about, like, watching those old movies, those old commercials and such, is it just shows that everybody starts from the same place.
Yep.
And we all build up. It's like, yeah, these mega stars. It's like, yeah, they were doing a shitty commercial too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And high waisted, stonewashed, pleated jeans.
Right.
Well, how did you guys meet?
Oh, wow. That's a wild story in its own right. Brandy, you want to take that one?
Justin, you can tell because you're the one who was like in a weird ass character the whole day.
Okay, so we both worked on like College Humor sets, you know, back in the day. Well, we were like actors, but you know, like bit actors and such. And they did some sketch at a school, at a college in Staten Island, and we were both on this shoot. And I was like a goth kid,
yeah,
which is ridiculous.
You look crazy.
And it's like, it was weird because I'm like the biggest goth kid in the world at that point. And Brandon was my bully, which is hilarious because he's like even a quarter of the size he is now. And yeah, that's I'm just a fat joke, Brandon. And like we just improvised on set the entire day and stayed in these characters. And we just became friends after that. And we started doing stand-up together, got a sketch comedy group, and we just, like, that's where it started from this weird College Humor shoot in Staten Island where we both obviously proved to each other that we were broken.
Well, that's what made you guys come up with the premise for Medium Popcorn. Like, what made you decide this is what we want to do a podcast about?
Well, I was doing medium popcorn for a little bit by myself, and that's incredibly lonely. I was just sitting in front of a microphone talking about movies to myself. And I think even on one of the older episodes, I was like, man, this is kind of, this is sad. And then Justin had been exploring, doing a podcast for a while. And then he and I were like, we were just like hanging out. We also like did like sketch comedy and stuff together. We talked a lot. And then, at one point it was just like, hey, why don't you do this movie podcast with me? And then we sat down, we did like a live watch of The Room, which is one of my favorite movies. And it's the movie that
I hate it.
Justin crazy. Yeah. And so we realized we had like a really funny banter back and forth, and it just took off from there. And we came up with like our rating system, the theme song. I think we came up with in like 2 hours. And so, it's just been refining that formula ever since. And we like to do old and new, just to like kind of switch it up. And we like to have like a diverse collection of films because it allows people to like never know what's going to happen next. For instance, this month, like it's going to be an insane amount of movies and there's no rhyme or reason as to the release.
That's great.
A bunch of reviews coming out. It's going to be like Whiplash.
I have Midsommar next up in my queue to listen from you guys, because that movie was creepy and freaky and I can't wait to hear what you guys have to say about it.
I think we're screwing most of that.
You what?
Oh, didn't we have Christina what's her name? Christina Hudson from Guys Be Fun. Mm-hmm. She's on that one. Yeah. There's a lot being said in that one. And it's a creepy movie.
Aren't they Swedish or are they from Norway? I don't remember.
It's like Swedish, but like it's also just like very much like if you're Justin and I, like after 20 minutes, you're like, we got to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah,
we're going to throw a guy off of a cliff and his wife. No, it was a guy and his wife, right? They pushed him off the cliff.
No, they just jumped. They swan dived off the cliff.
What a great vacation you brought us on, my Scandinavian friend.
You know, it's a celebrated custom. You know, we're just writing, we're just anthropologizing this whole thing. To me, the whole all the old nakeds cheering you on in the yurt while you're banging the chick, that to me.
Yeah.
go ahead.
It's just a really long, brutal breakup movie. That's all it is.
Yeah.
It's just, this guy doesn't want to talk to this girl, and it just is a nightmare after that.
But what's crazy is that my wife is from, you know, that area. She's from Finland. So when I was in Finland, she's like, oh, you know, we're going to, Midsommar's coming up. I was just like, wait, what is coming up? So it really blew my mind. But obviously, it's nothing like that. But, you know, close enough in that movie to have, like, flashbacks.
You can be set on fire in a bear suit.
That movie was very disturbing to me. Not quite on the level of the most disturbing film I've ever seen. You guys ever seen a film called A Serbian Film?
Nope.
It is a horror movie, and it's a movie made in Serbia. And it's about a guy who was a famous porn star, and these rich Russian dudes want him to come back and make one more film. And then just from there, it goes... It is the most disturbing film you'll ever see in your life.
It already sounds messed up. I don't want to do that. Like when I saw Midsommar, I kind of knew what I was getting into.
Yeah.
And I was still screaming the whole time. My wife is next to me. I'm like, I hate everything about this. Why did I pay for this? Yeah. Why is it still going?
This is one of those. It's funny because you say a movie it's filmed in Serbia. I imagine like the horror just comes from them going out to get a loaf of bread in the morning. Like that just sounds bad enough right there. Yeah.
This is one of those banned in the USA movies, though. That's why like people sought it out to see it.
Yeah, at first it was banned, and then they cut it down a little bit and made it. Is it
worse than Hostel?
No, Hostel is more cartoony. I know it's a lot more graphic. Yes. It's in the same vein, except it's porn. Instead of them being in a place with, I'm not kidding. I mean, just read a review of it or something, and you're like, I ain't going to talk about that.
Oh, no, Brandon. I feel like this has to happen now.
We're not doing it. We barely, like, we've been, our fans have been asking us to do Teeth, because we do, like, in Halloween, you know, October, right. We do all horror movies. Our audience has been asking us to do Teeth for years, and I just read one description of it. And I was like, this is...
I refuse to see that movie.
I
can't do it, but we're going to have to do it. But I really don't want to.
Isn't that Hilary Duff in that movie?
past teeth?
I don't know. In teeth?
That makes
it even worse.
Yeah.
You never like
Hillary Duff's acting and pussy with teeth. That's the worst thing I ever heard.
Don't do that, Hillary. Don't do that.
I could be wrong. I definitely could be wrong. Yeah, I don't.
Just defaming Hillary Duff.
Yeah, just bad. Her vagina is filled with teeth.
I liked your Hamilton episode because I'm trying to talk Tim into watching Hamilton.
Oh, you have to. Yeah, it's so good. It's so good. You have to.
You know, the other night I said to my wife, "You want to watch Hamilton this weekend?" She went, "Well, if you want to." I think we both kind of want to give it a shot, but we're like, I don't know. Maybe I don't know. But the person that I work with in my day job has said for years, "I'm not interested. I'm not interested. I'm not interested. I'm not interested." He watched it last weekend. He said it was one of the best things he's ever seen as far as entertainment, music, the staging, everything about it. So I'm curious now. So
yeah, I'm not a fan of musicals on film. Mm-hmm. I hate them. I think they don't work. I love musicals on stage, but on film, I feel like it just, there's a connection that gets lost. But like, that's one of the few that I was just like, yeah, this is just, it's so good. It doesn't matter the way you watch it. You just have to see it.
Yeah. I think I'll give it a shot. Jeff, you've convinced me.
And your guys' episode on it was real good too. You had that guy from the touring company on with you.
Oh, Rick Younger. Yeah. He's actually on the Broadway with Mean Girls. I mean,
he's on Mean Girls now. Yeah.
It was fantastic to get his point of view of like what it's like to be on Broadway. I never had an opportunity to ask someone, those kind of questions. And it's just great to hear his perspective on like, being a working actor, like dealing with COVID and what the plan is for Broadway, like beyond. Sounds like they're still trying to figure it out, which I guess I can't imagine being a Broadway artist right now, like just not even knowing when my next production is going to be, if I even remember stuff, like what, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
Or you guys both are actors too. I mean, what's it like trying to book anything at this point?
Well, I'm just producing stuff. I'm strictly like producing events. Like I'm producing comedy events. I have Drunk Black History, which we'll be doing in our show a month or so. This podcast, like I'm just producing stuff because fortunately a lot of the stuff that I already have on a docket, like is transferable to a pandemic for a weird reason. So I haven't really had to stop anything except for like live stand-up comedy shows. And those probably won't be back for at least another year or so to the capacity that I had.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Well, a lot of things have just moved online. So I've been doing a little bit more voiceover work. Like I've done some things. I've had to film from home and stuff. But, it's weird because, like, I feel like the audition room, the auditioning process is kind of like an art. And now it's quickly becoming a lost art because you're doing everything from home and it's just a completely different vibe. And it's just like you're not able to put more of yourself, into that room and into that process. So it's just weird. It really is. I don't know how things are going to get back to normal, post COVID, or if there is a post, but it'll be interesting to see what's going to happen.
I wanted to ask, how much prep do you put into each episode, and then balanced with how much do you ad lib during the show while you're recording?
I mean, prep is like, I usually like look up some trivia, some history. I have an intern now for my production company because we're fancy. We don't have health though yet, so we're not. But, we look up trivia and stuff. And then I'm like the movie news guy, so I'll dig into like weird, obscure facts and stuff like that. And Justin, essentially, like his homework is like to watch the movie. We come together and we have like a general outline where we know we're going to talk about the movie, and then we have to end with like reviewing it. But everything in between is just off the top. Like sometimes, I mean, if you just listen to the episodes, we start off sometimes singing. We'll talk about like, recent trips or like a weird thing that happened that day, like between us. And then like eventually we'll like, oh yeah, we should talk about this movie.
Yeah.
I feel terrible for Rotten Tomatoes that has to transcribe every episode because
for me, I'll watch the movie and then it's like, if the movie is like, it's, thought-provoking enough, then I'll start, like, digging deeper into, like, certain premises in the film, especially, like, those movies that have, like, historical references and things like that. I'll come in. I'll know all of, like, the history, you know, what this is all based off of. But most of the time, it's just, like, I'm going to watch the movie, and then we're going to sit down. It's like, here's my notes. Here's all the crazy things that I found, and let's go.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, a lot of it is kind of off the cuff. And, it, you know, for me, it just makes it more fun.
I will
say, fun.
Oh, sorry, Stephanie.
No, I was just going to say, it is very funny that you guys making fun of each other's points of view on the movie. That's one of the best parts of the podcast.
When you find something new for me, and I'll shut up here, but when I find something new that I haven't listened to before, and I start listening to it, and I immediately sense the connection between the hosts, it makes it a lot more enjoyable to me. And I started listening to Talking Sopranos podcast when it started about 20 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Michael Imperioli and Steven Sharippa from the show. And they gel really well, and they play off each other really well. And you guys do too. I mean, even if you were talking about going to the grocery store in the style in which you do the show, it would be entertaining. That's the point I was making.
That's hilarious. Michael Imperioli is one of Christopher is one of my favorite TV characters of all time. So I will say, like, because of this legend of movies, there are some bad movies that I watch where I'm like, I actually call Justin during them because I just am so excited to hear us record his, like, our takes on it, especially Justin's rants, because he gets so upset sometimes. And it just brings joy to my heart. And so I'll call him and we'll be like, hey, man, are you watching this? He's like, yeah, man. Like, when we watched that what was the documentary about the family on Netflix where the dad...
Abducted in Plain Sight.
Abducted in Plain Sight. Or the dad screwed everybody in the, like, the pastor, that one?
Pretty much.
I call Justin and say, dude, he just had sex with the friend. Like, at least, like, he had a hand job or something. Justin's like, dude, he fucks the whole family.
The entire family.
Yeah.
Mother, father, daughter, everyone. And then the father's like, yeah, you can sleep in the bed with our child. I'm like, what? That will forever blow my mind. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen on television.
Did you guys watch the Tiger King documentary and talk about that?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Oh. You gotta listen to Justin's Joe Exotic.
Let's hear it.
Let me tell you guys something. There is something about another man's mother.
Oh, that's great.
Carol fucking Baskins. Carol Baskins.
That is
it's like
great.
Somewhere in between Joe Exotic and Cat Williams, you know, mixed in there together.
We played a secure bit a lot on the podcast, the sound bit.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm never going to financially recover from this. Like,
yeah.
So good.
You know, he'll do kind of like he'll read the patrons as the Tiger King and stuff like that.
He'll call from jail. I said our show is weird, man. We have Idris Elba calls out our Patriots.
Oh, who does Idris Elba?
Oh, that's me.
All impressions are Justin, except for Jay-Z.
Most of the impressions are me, other than the really, really bad ones. Those are Brandon.
You do a string of Bill, motherfucker.
No, I've taken more of like, you know, the Idris Elba, you know, just as himself, as opposed to the characters he plays. But like, yeah, so, you know, when I go into Idris, I don't know why, but I like to close my eyes just a little bit because I feel like British people, they're looking through a different lens than the rest of us. And then Brandon, as the longer I talk as Idris, he starts to get to a point where he wants to assault me. And I'm not quite sure exactly what it is.
I just hate the way he talks. I'm just like, I hate you, Idris. Like, it's just a really weird beef between me and the fake character Idris.
Yeah. But there's something about the real Idris that bothers you, right? Is it because he's so handsome and every woman in the world wants to have sex with him?
No, that's Michael B. Jordan. That's Michael B. Jordan for Brandon.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he hates Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah, Idris Elba, I want to fuck, but Michael B. Jordan.
I'd let a man handle me, but he has to be Stringer. He has to be Stringer villain. All right, man. Yeah. Talk about
Michael B. Jordan is hot, but I still say Idris Elba gives everybody a whop. That's everybody across the board.
Mm-hmm. He's an older man. He's handsome. He's got the silver in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, Michael B. Jordan ain't got no chin. I hate that, dude. I mean, I'm actually a big fan, but stay away from my wife.
Yeah.
And, well, he was also in The Wire too.
Yep. There's a lot of people that are blowing up. That's like, and that's why that show is one of the best shows of all time.
I was down. Have you guys been to Atlanta?
Yeah, countless times.
You know where Little Five Points is then, right?
Mm-hmm.
Little bohemian area downtown. I was down there a couple of years ago, just happened to be going to a show, and I was walking down the street with a friend of mine, and the actress who played Snoop was just standing there. And she's
wow.
I said, Snoop. She went, what the fuck's up, man? And I said, oh, my God, you're just standing here in the street. She goes, God, DJ show going on in here. And it was a lesbian DJ club or a record shop or something like that. I don't want to bring it down to that. You know what? I'm not.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But that's what it was. And that's what there was, like a book festival or something. She had a book. And I'm like, fuck, I can wait on the show. I went in and talked to her and I bought her book and I got her to sign it. And like, because those characters, almost every character on that show is just so memorable. That show is my obsession. That and The Sopranos are my two biggest obsessions on TV.
I mean, did they open season 4 with Snoop? She went to a Home Depot, and she's talking to the sales cook about the hammer guns.
Yeah.
He doesn't realize that she's using that to board up the buildings where she's
burning. Right.
I got to say, you had a much better interaction with the star than I did, because I saw Ethan Hawke walking down the street in Manhattan, mm-hmm. and I just went around just like, hey, Jake, I know you like to get wet. Run the other way. Get out of here.
Oh, I've been really drunk and met celebrities and embarrassed the shit out of myself several times. So,
happens to the best of us.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to ask, what are which is your favorite movie that you could think of that you have spoiled?
Mm. Oh, so basically one of our favorite reviews?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I mean, for entertainment factor, I would say A Goofy Movie, just because I love that movie. Justin hated that movie. He had no idea why, like, particularly black people love that movie. And then we made a bet that if I did, like, a poll and people said that they really loved Powerline and The Goofy Movie, he would dress up as Powerline from The Goofy Movie scene and dance in Times Square, and I won that bet. And it's one of the most glorious moments of my life. I'm thinking about it now. My heart's just beating. I love every moment of it.
We're gonna have to start doing stuff like that, Jeff. I want to see you walking downtown, or Steph dancing in the street.
I'll do that. I could do that. I don't have a Powerline costume. I'll have to think of something else. But especially now.
Neither did I. I had to make one, and that was even worse than anything. So I was in a skin-tight yellow outfit standing in the middle of the Times Square. It was horrendous. People were just like, well, it's also New York, because everyone was just like, yeah, Tuesday, and they just kept walking by. So
no one cared. Like, that's the thing. I thought everyone was going to laugh and point at Justin. Literally, it was New York. No one cared. They just walked by him dancing. They were just like, oh.
So you do that here, and it all of a sudden Atlanta turns into a small town. Ew, look at that freak.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think you could do Billy on the Street in any other city but New York City.
Right. Yeah, because people they're just inundated with craziness every day, so they don't care anymore. So it's like, yeah, it's whatever.
Well, Brandon, I know you have another podcast, What Kind of Mayo?
Yes, where I revisit the 90s cartoon Doug. I thought it was a good idea at first because I was trying to figure out what Ray's Patty Mayonnaise was. And I remember having a huge affinity for Doug. But now, because I'm mid-30s and I have a life, I hate this show. Doug needs counseling. The town of Bluffington is creepy. There's some dark things going on with the Dinks. Doug's parents are absentees. Patty is... definitely put Doug in a friend zone. It's a nightmare. But I have a lot of fun. I bring on people. But I do regret my decision to revisit the show. It's been a mental drain, but I'm powering through.
Like, But do you go in, you go into other shows from that time from Nickelodeon, like Pete and Pete and other shows that were out at that time?
Specifically, Doug, I wish I had started the premise off where I could do that, because that would definitely make me a lot happier. Even though I think, like, if I went back to like Rugrats and Pete and Pete and Avro Monsters, those might be like messed up too. Like where I'm like, oh, I remember loving these, and now I want to jump out the window.
Well, Pete and Pete is definitely disturbed.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Older Pete,
hey, dude.
He used to be a busboy at a restaurant in Greenwich Village. And my mom walked in on him accidentally in the bathroom. And, like, because he didn't lock the door. And I remember being like, my mom, like, you just opened the bathroom door and Pete. You know, Pete. I'm like, he's working at this restaurant. How the money has fallen.
Well, yeah. What are some of your guys' favorite podcasts?
Justin?
I like Lore. I listen to like scary stories. Like, so like there's like a thing on YouTube. I listen to Lazy Rep Masquerade. That's like a YouTube kind of podcast I listen to. I like Hardcore History, Dan Carlin's Hardcore History. Amazing podcast. Joe Rogan Experience, you know, depending on who's on. You know, I'll pop in. I'm kind of in and out on that one now. So it's kind of things like that that just help me just pass the time. I've started to get into audiobooks and things like that. So it's like I'm not listening to as many podcasts as I used to. I used to have like, you know, like 10 different podcasts I was listening to at any different time.
Yeah, I just started talking again, so I'm listening to more.
I listen to Business Wars. I'm really into like how different companies have like adapted to changing times and stuff, and or failed under those circumstances. I occasionally listen to Joe Rogan just because he has so many good guests that you can't not listen, even though I have some issues with him. But Business Wars, WTF with Mark Maron. I skipped the intro, if I'm being completely honest.
Me too. It's too dark.
I scrub through the first 15 minutes every time.
Same with Rogan.
Oh, yeah, we got deer meat and elk meat coming from...
Hey there, freak bitches.
Yeah.
I listen to Tim Dillon Goes to Hell. Tim Dillon's a New York comedian who now lives in L.A. Hilarious
guy. Tim Dillon told me I had to kill myself one time, so...
Oh, he did?
Don't get along.
Why did he tell you to kill yourself?
He was on the second... Impractical Jokers cruise, and then he went on the podcast. I forget the other comedian dude whose podcast he was on, but they basically trashed Impractical Jokers and their fans and everything. I get him to get on Twitter, and he told me to kill myself.
All right, so I take that back. I don't listen to Tim Dillon Goes to Hell.
Kind of a bitter dude for his age, too, but I like that. I mean, he's got a lot of grit.
He's a funny fucking comedian. I'll give him that. And he was great on them Project Joker's cruise, but when he talked shit about the fans, I was like, fuck you, buddy.
Yeah, it's just like we're the only reason you were on that cruise is because of these fans. So it's kind of weird. Yeah.
Yep, not going to defend that. Definitely. But I listen to Freakonomics as well. So that's a nice palate cleanser.
That is.
Yeah.
They told you to kill yourself too.
Gilbert Gottfried told him to kill himself.
Oh, why don't you die?
No, Gilbert Gottfried said I was gay for liking Grease 2.
Yeah, that's right.
Wait, you like Grease 2, Jeff?
Yeah, I do.
Jesus Christ. Oh my God.
You know what? Right now, I'm just all I hear is everything in Gilbert Gottfried's voice and Grease 2. It's like, so explain to me what was in your head when you saw Grease 2 and then what made you like that?
Did you like the motorcycles or did you like the ocean?
Hard to do his voice. You know, I heard the best.
It really is.
The best impression I've ever heard of him is actress Amy Ryan. She was on his podcast a couple months ago. She has the intonation, the inflection, the everything is perfect. And she did it the whole show and made him laugh. But, you know, I've never heard it. But it's the best one I've ever heard. It was perfect.
But you know what? I feel like if your voice is too deep, you have a little too much. You cannot hit that octave that he does. Nope. It's super hard. Super hard.
And you have to put a little, get that in your throat.
Oh, yeah.
You got to put that gollum in there.
Yeah, yes. You got to get you got to get that tracheotomy, right? You know, really going.
I'm Gilbert Gottfried. I don't see a lot of that anymore. Well, Val Kilmer just had one, though, sadly.
Did he?
Yeah. He just had a tracheotomy. Yep.
How did he do Top Gun 2, then, if he can't speak? I'm not even being mean. I'm like, I'm genuinely, I heard that Goose is, not Goose.
I don't know.
No, he's not.
Maverick. That Maverick. I don't
know. Goose died.
Who did? Maverick?
Goose died. Oh.
Yeah,
Goose died. That's because Miles played his son in the sequel, I think.
Kilmer was the Iceman.
That's right, Iceman.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that must be really weird.
Well, there won't be a Thunderheart 2, that's for sure. I'm sorry.
Is that the movie where he's a Native American?
Sort of. Yeah, like I guess the blood's in there somewhere deep inside his Icelandic eyes, I guess.
That was cool with that kind of attitude. You can go back and watch his filmography and be like, oh, this guy's cuckoo bananas.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah.
He does good performances, but you're like, oh, on set, like, he was that dude that everyone stayed away from because they're like, Bell's in his own world.
Especially for Charles.
It's funny because I was in an improv class with Val Kilmer's stepdaughter. And she was just like, he's the nicest person on the face of the earth, and talking about how, like, he has all of the Batman memorabilia around the house. So she remember as a little kid just playing with, like, the actual stuff from the Batman film that he was Batman. I was just like, that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
But also, it's just like, we need to talk about your stepdad. I have so many questions.
I got no problem with you, Lunger. Justin, you were in a movie called You Can't Kill Stephen King. Is that correct?
Yep. I also can't kill myself enough times.
I watched it. I watched it on Amazon Prime, as a matter of fact.
Is he in it? I want to know more about it. I love Stephen King.
It's funny. He was not in it, but so we filmed it in the actual town that Stephen King lives in, and apparently the director actually ran into Stephen King and asked him if he wanted to be in it. And Stephen King looked at him and said, "Absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely, it's just like I want no parts of it." And you know what? And rightfully so, because he did not want to be a part of that movie. I mean, well, especially just the set. I mean, because it was my first movie, and while I had fun with it, and it's like, you know, yeah, there are some things which are like a little bit problematic, and it's weird and such. Like, I enjoyed it, and I still kind of take pride in that film. But at the same time, I realize, like, this movie isn't for everybody.
Yeah. Still a movie. Most people aren't in movies, so you got to be proud.
This is true. Indeed. No, you don't have to be proud of all of them. Believe me. True. I know.
Yeah. It's not as bad as I've heard you say it was, I guess, is what I want to say.
Well, the thing is, I made Brandon watch film. I made Brandon watch the other film I was in, Early Grave, and that was significantly probably maybe the worst movie we've ever reviewed.
It was really bad. I mean, there's a scene where there's a guy that gets buried alive, and then he gets out of the ditch, and then Justin's like, yeah, and so we actually had to bury that guy. Like, no, there's no like finessing. We literally had to bury this guy and he came out of it.
That's awesome.
Oh, it was so fun.
Well, go ahead.
No, yeah, I think one of the cool things that I hope that we actually have an opportunity to get to in the future is that, you know, interviewing, you know, actors who are actually in these films, so you can get some of those behind the scene kind of stories, because it's like, yeah, you know, you see that in the movie, and you're just like, oh, they did some weird, like, hand thing. He put his arm under, came out. It's like, no, they pretty much fully buried him, and he came out of it. Like, that's those weird things. That would make it even almost watchable, because now you're looking for those little things that you're 9 out of 10, you're going to miss.
Where can you watch this movie at?
Oh, I don't even know. I have no idea. That's the one I want to just buy up.
Shudder.
If I ever became... If I ever like got, you know, real fame or something like that, what I would do is I'd buy every last copy of it and burn them. I just put them in a ditch and just set them ablaze. It's that bad of a film. It's online. I think we did a Zoom. We did a Zoom night with it, and it was horrendous. I was sweating bullets the entire film.
Have you guys ever done Red Dawn?
No, actually, the remake or the original.
Yeah, the original. Today's the anniversary of its release back in 1984. And I remember that Jeff and I used to skip school, and I recorded it off HBO, and we'd sit and maybe watch it two times in a row. I mean, I have the whole film memorized. I've tried to watch it recently, and some of it's okay, but a lot of it doesn't really hold up. It's crazy. Like, if Russia was going to invade the United States, they wouldn't land in Kansas or wherever the hell they lived, or Wyoming.
Yeah.
But I don't even know why I brought it up. Oh, God, now I feel like an idiot. You know, not even.
How'd you guys land on the movie that you're picking for your next Zoom show?
Oh, Mortal Kombat? We just put a poll out. We came up with like a list of a few films, put a poll on our Patreon, and then like later on our social medias, and Mortal Kombat. It was like Mortal Kombat and Congo. They were really close. And Mortal Kombat's just been in the docket for a while, so I'm looking forward to it because it has one of the best theme songs of all time. After the opening, though, it's downhill from there very quickly. But
let's talk about it. It's Medium Popcorn Zoom Movie Night plus podcast, and you guys are doing Mortal Kombat. Tell us how this works, and please don't sue us when we steal it.
Yeah, so people RSVP, we send them a Zoom link about an hour before the show. We share our screen. We play the movie. People really have a fun time in the chat because we just all like bask in the insanity of these films. And then immediately after, we do a live podcast review, and you know, we just have some fun. The audience gets to contribute a little bit, take off their mics, give their two cents, or ask us questions about our mental breakdowns. And then we call it a night, and everyone seems to really enjoy it. This is going to be like our fifth one now, and so. We're just really excited, and it's Mortal Kombat, so it's going to be silly. It's going to be fun. The CGI does not hold up. I can.
Oh yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't.
And then I got some cool trivia, like, you know, learning that Cameron Diaz was originally supposed to play Sonya Blade, and then she got injured. She couldn't do it. So, like, things like that are things that we're going to bring up during the Zoom movie night.
They got Russo, right? The chin lady, or whatever
her name. They got she played the teacher in Billy Madison.
Yeah, she's got kind of like a crescent moon shaped face.
Talking about Renee Russo, the actress Renee Russo has a moon face.
It's not Renee Russo; it's something like Russo. Anyway, anyway,
people can come watch it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Sorry.
You can get the Zoom link on all of our social media. The RSVP link for Eventbrite. BDMP podcast on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. It's all there. You can follow Justin or I on our social medias, and the links will be there as well.
And we're going to post it. We'll definitely post it.
The links and everything.
Appreciate it. We appreciate it.
Before we let you go, there was one thing there's probably a million things we could talk about, but I do have a question about the Tropic Thunder. Did I hear you correctly? Martin Lawrence was originally going to be in that movie?
No, it wasn't Martin Lawrence.
Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart. Okay, and he didn't want to. Yeah. He didn't want to do one thing.
He didn't want to play a gay character.
That's right.
So then he turned down the role of Al Pacino. And the thing we were talking about is just like, if he really read the script, he would have understood that, like, you know, that is such a minor plot line within it, and it only comes up once throughout the movie, and then at the end where he hugs Lance Bass, which is alluding to. So right. It's just kind of ridiculous, but, you know, there's just a thing with, obviously, black actors and black comics in particular in Hollywood, with them not wanting to feel demasculated, you know, within comedy and movies and things like that. So it's just a weird thing.
That was like 10 years ago, though. I mean, things have changed now. Like, I know on shows like Insecure and things. I mean, it's just, it's a lot different now. I feel like things have changed.
Yeah, I mean, there's a long history of it. Like, yeah, Dave Chappelle, apparently in Blue Streak, they wanted him to put on a dress at one point, and he refused it. And it's a really long thing. Like, if you can do a ton of research into this, and it's like a big problematic thing within the black comedy community, where it's just like men at some point throughout their career to just like, hey, put on this dress.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a whole thing. And even the actor who ended up playing Al Pacino, was it Brandon T. Jackson? Brandon?
Yeah.
Yeah. He came out later. He says like he feels like wearing the dress kind of hurt his career and things like that.
It goes way back. You can watch, if you ever watched the roast that Richard Pryor did after his NBC show was canceled, or it's him and Robin Williams and Paul Mooney and why can't I think of her name? The comedian. She was on Night Court. I just went out of my head. Marsha Warfield. And Richard Pryor tells a story and embarrasses Paul Mooney. But the other thing that you brought up that was really good, though, and I'm just, you know, talking about how great this podcast is, I hope you know, is you brought up Nelson Ellis, who played Lafayette on True Blood, and how he handled the character, but he was still a badass. So it was just real interesting to hear that kind of a character.
Well, I know in that particular review, we kind of went more into it, because like I even talked about how I was I read for an HBO pilot, which ended up turning into the show Looking on HBO, which was basically kind of like Sex in the City for gay men in San Francisco. And it was just a thing where I'm just like, I don't know if I'm comfortable playing, like I'll play a gay character, I don't care, but I don't know if I'm really ready for HBO gay, because that's, you know, it's far more in depth, you know, and you're gonna see more and such, and like, you know, having that conversation, because what it means, you know, for your, you know, for who you are as a black man in the industry, and how that, you know, what the precedent that sets. And then we've got into the Lafayette thing. It's just like, because while Lafayette is kind of, it can very much be likened to the whole, you know, as far as the Tropic Thunder line, you never go full retard.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, because like, it's like Lafayette is like, yeah, he played a gay character, but he wasn't full gay because he was also a badass. You also talk about Omar in The Wire. It's like he was a gay character, but he was also badass. So it's kind of negated the perceptions or the stereotype of what a gay man is. So it's like there's layers to it, which is really weird and really messed up. But it's something that you actually have to think about.
Yeah, you do. You have to think about it. And then once you've thought about it, you're like, oh, well, any person can be gay. And you don't know. You don't know. You know, unless you're running around going, are you gay?
There's obviously a different when it's just to you dressing up like an old lady, because Martin and Tyler Perry have made gajillions of money off of doing that. Same thing with Eddie Murphy. So,
but think about it, Tyler Perry also has like a lot of trouble getting legitimacy outside of his fan base, right? Like, I remember we talked about him in Gone Girl, and we were all like, wow, Tyler Perry can actually act. And everyone was like, but it's also because, is he getting opportunities to do stuff outside of the things he creates because of certain perceptions that people have? Or is it that that's his comfort zone? So when he does other films, he's really, really particular. I mean, from what I learned in the trivia, like Tyler Perry didn't even know that he was auditioning for Gone Girl, because his manager was pretty sure if he knew that he was auditioning for David Fincher, he wouldn't have gone.
He just thought there was no way he was going to get it.
Probably. I mean, if I'm Tyler Perry at this time, I would probably think I'm not going to get cast in the follow-up to The Social Network.
Yeah.
He was good in Star Trek, one of the Star Trek movies, too.
Good in the Star Trek movie, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a good – I mean, he's got his own studios. I feel like he could just make his own shit. I mean, any kind of movie he wanted to make.
True.
I mean, damn.
He does make his own shit. I mean, literally, we've reviewed some of it. It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's actually shit. But
don't get my mom. Don't talk about Madea to my mother, because she loves the fuck out of Madea movies. They are her favorite.
The show with the guy who wore the weird pants is funny as shit. And I can't remember the name.
Oh, Meet the Browns.
That show was funny as fuck. Yeah. I don't care.
It was weird, but it's like, then Madea showed up like a few times here and there throughout that show. Correct. If my memory serves me right, but yeah, that show is just, it's dumb, but it's dumb funny.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah.
Does it make you laugh? Yes. Then I'm going to watch it because it makes me laugh and I can have a good time and not worry about stuff for half an hour.
What are you guys watching like on Netflix or whatever right now? Any shows that you guys are watching, either one of you?
Avatar. Just finished Hannibal, which is fantastic.
Good series, wasn't it?
If you haven't watched Hannibal, I mean, it's, if you like David Fincher and stuff like that, Hannibal is like right down your alley. It's so good. I heard whispers that there might be a fourth season, which would be phenomenal to do the Silence of the Lambs story. So Hannibal, Avatar. Been rewatching The Boondocks because that's on HBO Max, which is really fun. And then Last Chance U. I love that show. I don't care for football at all, but that show's awesome on Netflix.
Yeah. It really tugs at the heartstrings. You're seeing these guys. It's like, you're messing up again. This is your last chance. It's in the title. I just finished Bosch on Amazon Prime, which is a phenomenal show. Like, my brother just put me onto it. I was just like, and I just, yeah, I just binged that. I just recently watched Fear City. It's basically about the mob in New York City. It's pretty solid. I'm rewatching. I just finished watching It's Always Sunny, and I finished Atlanta. I just finished Atlanta last week, so I'm just going through the Rolodex.
Yeah.
Atlanta, that's heartbreaking. I'm like, I don't know if we'll ever get another season of that.
I think they filmed the third season. They were going to do the fourth one back to back. I don't know if they ever got through to do that one.
Hmm.
So I think there's a third season definitely coming. But
oh my God, that would be great.
We'll see. Everything's shut down.
I liked watching Watchmen on HBO.
Oh, and yeah.
It's supposed to be Tulsa. And I'm like, no, that's Decatur Square. That's Peachtree Street.
Yeah. It was Watchmen. I think they just did a really good job with it. I mean, some parts in it land, but like for the most part, I was in.
Yeah. Yeah, I was a big fan of the comic book. I'm one of the few people that likes the movie, and I liked the sequel comic book or the weird different universe called Doomsday Clock.
Oh, yep. With that has like Batman and everyone incorporated with it.
Yeah. They go to Ozymandias, or however you say his name, Ozymandias, whatever, takes them to the DC universe, and they end up fighting with Batman and the Joker. It's really cool, little comic book.
Really weird. Yeah, that was pretty cool. We'll have you on to do Watchmen at some point because Zack Snyder, we haven't been very kind to, and I think Watchmen is just along that line. Like, I mean, apparently people love working with him. People love
acting in the
movie, but as an audience, just a lot of us are
Tim going in the pool with him.
What?
Get out of here. Nobody wants to get in the pool with him, that's for sure.
Brandon Collins and Justin Brown from the podcast Medium Popcorn. Thank you guys for coming on the show, man. And I'm glad that we discovered it. Thank you, Steph, because it's a lot of fun. If you like movies and people talking about movies and breaking them down and laughing, you guys need to give Medium Popcorn a listen. And thank you for taking time on a weeknight to shoot the shit with us, man. Anytime you got anything to plug, we will definitely plug it.
I appreciate it. And I also just want to tell Jeff that I appreciate your background there, my friend.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah, it's classic. Classic.
Look, hotel, baby.
All right, how old were you when you saw that movie for the first time?
I was like 10. I think I was 10. I had no idea what I was watching.
Same.
And I tried to read the book, and I was even more confused and messed up.
That scene where the lady gets out of the bathtub naked and you're 10 years old and you're like, oh, she's rotting.
Yeah. It was like, yeah, that's a boner killer right there.
Yeah. Back in the day, just being sweaty and balmy and talking about writing all day.
Well, if you guys haven't done Becky yet, have you?
No.
That Kevin James movie where he plays a white supremacist.
Jesus
Christ. No. I highly suggest you do Becky. I think you'd have a good time with it. It's crazy as shit.
Okay. Oh boy. Kevin James?
Kevin James, yeah. It's definitely a departure from Paul Blart. It's
not King of Queens, not Kevin James. Taylor movie.
With a giant swastika in the back of his head.
Okay.
Okay.
Just add it to the list.
Yep. Add it to the list for Black History Month. That's, I think, we'll love.
All right, guys. Thank you again so much, man. We had a lot of fun. And everybody, do yourself a favor. Subscribe to Medium Popcorn wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, man.
Thanks, guys, thank you so much. Bye, take guys. Care.
Later. All right, bye.
Man, that was a lot of fun. Thank
it
you,
was. Steph.
Yeah,
hey guys, man. Thank you guys very much.
Yeah, dude. Thank you, man.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Later.
Take
bye.
Care.
Bye.
That I was so guys, much fun. Oh, God,
I knew you guys hilarious. Would love those guys. They're so funny.
People that you can sit and shoot the shit with about movies nonstop, TV shows, pop culture. It's amazing. And seriously, check out Medium Popcorn if you haven't listened to it yet.
Right, we're going to see how they do the Zoom movie night thing, too.
Steph sent out an outline about how to do it. I just have to read it.
Right.
Yeah, it looks pretty easy. I mean, and I think the way that they have it organized, they send out invitations via that Eventbrite thing. Right. So, and then you RSVP, and then they know how many people are coming. And I guess they can also say, like, only so many, because you don't want to have, like, 50,000 people. And, well, not, like, right. that many people would RSVP, honestly, but.
And they kind of touched on it. They just use the chat during the movie.
Right.
They're not, like, riffing and doing bits during the movie. And then when the movie's over, then they do the show.
Yeah.
Sounds like cool.
That's a great idea. I wish everybody would tell us, like our listeners, if we did it, what movie would they want to do? Give us some eye.
Yeah. Okay, listen, if you guys want to do that with Radio Labyrinth and the three of us, let us know. We have social media. Speaking of social media, you can follow Medium Podcast on Twitter. It's at Medium P Podcast. And they do have a website where you can get everything that you need, which is mediumpopcorn.podomatic.com. Again, podomatic.com. mediumpopcorn.podomatic.com. Man, that was a fun show.
Yeah, those guys are great, Steph. Good job.
Yep.
Thanks. I mean, I only brought them here. I didn't actually make you guys laugh or anything. They did that, but
oh, you're welcome. Please. Hey, let's don't have much time left. We spoke to them for quite a while. So you guys want to do, we have a new playlist now on our Spotify, our new Spotify playlist. We're going to do songs from movie soundtracks, classic soundtracks or classic songs. So why don't you kick it off, Steph?
Oh, okay. So my three songs, since we were doing soundtracks, where the hell is my shit at? I don't know what I did with it. Oh, okay.
I got mine here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I picked the obvious songs so you would be able to know what movie it was from immediately. The first one I picked was Purple Rain.
Mm-hmm.
You know what movie that's from?
Purple Rain.
No, it's not. Sorry. Yeah. And I picked Night Fever by the Bee Gees, which has the name of the movie in it.
Right.
And I picked Footloose by Kenny Loggins.
All good tunes.
Okay, I'm ready now.
Hang on. Okay. I discovered over the weekend that my favorite Kenny Loggins song is that one. Or he goes, sweet love showing us a heavenly night. Anyway, go ahead.
I always think that's my old man always sings three drunk rednecks on a Saturday night.
I had my own lyrics for it too. I never knew what he said. I had to look it up.
My song, first one, I love the song. It's a Snoop Dogg, Nate Dogg classic from the classic film Above the Rim, Big Pimpin'. I know you Big Pimpin' is a hell of a great song. If you don't know it, I'm sure you do.
Jay-Z?
Huh?
Isn't it Jay-Z who sings Big Pimpin'?
That's a different Big Pimpin'. That's Big Pimpin' on it. This is a different song.
I don't know.
Yeah. This is the one where he's like, I pimp my pen on cold Michigan nights and the bitch didn't freeze up.
What, Jeff? Okay.
Big Pimpin' on a Saturday night.
I never seen such a beautiful sight.
Three big pimps on a Saturday. Okay, anyway. And then the other one is Laying Down the Law. You remember that's from it's NXS and some other dude, but it's for the Lost Boys soundtrack.
Is it one, gonna have a good time tonight?
No, that's that other one. No, this one's I'm Laying Down the Law. Showdown okay. in the Northland. It's the song yeah. that they're playing when Corey Haim comes into the comic book shop for the first time. It's the song that the Frog Brothers are playing in their comic book store. It's anyway, fun. Yeah, so it sets the tone. And then In the Waiting Line by 07 from the Garden State soundtrack.
Deep the original.
You didn't pick the headphone song from Garden State?
No, I picked the one where they're all doing all the drugs at the house and he's getting higher and higher and higher. No, you thought I was going to pick Caring is Creepy by the Shins?
Yeah, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
No, but 07, talk about some mellow.
Garden Stage is good, though.
Yeah, the whole album is. But anyway, that's my soundtrack.
All right, my soundtrack. My first one is Dyslexic Heart by Paul Westerberg, which is one of the better songs on the single soundtrack. Everybody's Talking by Harry Nilsson, Midnight Cowboy. And my last pick is On the Dark Side by John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band from the 80s classic film Eddie and the Cruisers.
I was going to pick something from Eddie and the Cruisers, but then I was like, you won't know it's from Eddie and the Cruisers.
Betty Obviously. Lou got a new pair. Yeah, the movie's not called Betty Lou Got a New Pair of Shoes.
I think everybody's talking at me. My old tubby, my dog of, I'll always miss him. Anytime he would ever go to eat his dinner,
yeah,
we would always sing that because he always had that look on his face like, everybody's talking at me when he's eating his food. Anyway, but yeah.
All right, so check out our new playlist on our Spotify. I'll link it here.
I'll save my Ren and Stimpy documentary staff pick for another day because it doesn't come out till the 14th. So,
all right. Well, just real quick, I didn't really watch anything. Next week when we come back, do we have a guest next week or no?
Not yet. No.
Next week, what everybody watch is going to be What Did Everybody But Tim Watch. I'll try to get caught up on some things, but you guys, I think I haven't let everybody talk about everything they like, and a lot of people listen to the podcast to hear that. So I'm going to stop being a grouchy bitch and just talk about whatever they want to talk about.
Mason, though, didn't you?
No, I'm almost done with it. I'm going to finish it this week. We can talk about it next week if that's cool with you guys.
Let's do that. We'll do the Perry Mason finale. And can I just say that just because it's coming up this week, my staff pick was Lovecraft Country on HBO. I'm the new Jordan Peele show. To me. It looks crazy as hell, right? Like, yeah, you don't know what the hell is going on.
But they're promoing the shit out of it. I'm kind of sick of watching the promos. I just want to watch the show.
Same here.
Yeah. Agreed. And the Umbrella Academy Season 2 Spotify playlist is phenomenal.
Ooh.
The music in this season, like the music in the first season was great, but the music in this season, it's even better. And it's just so all over the place, you know, during a fight scene, they'll start playing, I was made for loving you, baby. Yeah. I mean, it's all over the place. It's so good.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the music is almost like a character in the show.
That's great when that happens. And a lot of shows, again, Sopranos started all that. But when you can weave it in and out like that and make it a character, it's great stuff. I really didn't watch a lot, just YouTube, and nobody wants to hear me talk about the same Don Rickles clip. So, but those guys were great. Again, Steph, thank you so much. Medium Popcorn Podcast. Check it out whenever you have time, especially if you like to laugh and hear a lot of cool talking about movies. And plus, his impressions are amazing. Justin's impressions are great. Hello?
Agreed.
Did we have to record a promo thing for Dustin?
Well, when we're done. Okay.
Check me out on The Wilder Ride again.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's tomorrow. I wanted to plug that one more time for those guys.
Check out The Wilder Ride each and every week. Probably have a couple episodes a week that drop, right?
I think they're doing one a week.
Right. Alan, you can hit me in the face if I got that wrong. I do have a thing. Look what I got in the mail the other day. I'll show it on the camera here. It's Planet of the Apes, When Worlds Collide, and it's different artists doing one-off stories surrounding the various films. So you have one from the modern era, you have one from the TV show, you have one from the original era. It's really cool stuff, so check it out.
But that Dana Gould one that you had?
No, I have that one too. I love Planet of the Apes. I mean, there's really nothing I geek out. It's my Star Wars. I mean, I like Star Wars, but Planet of the Apes is more my Star Wars than anything else. So, Steph, do you have anything with the doggies?
No, just, you know, BarkvilleDogRescue.org. If you are thinking about adopting or considering fostering, please hit us up. One of my former adopters and one of our listeners, she messaged me on Twitter asking me about for her mother. Her mother's interested in adopting. So I've actually made a lot of connections through the show. I've had so many people donate through the show. I mean, if anything, if I don't ever remember anything, I remember all of the philanthropy that this show has connected me with. And I truly appreciate all you guys, and your love for animals is the best.
Jeff, you got anything you need to plug?
No, I'm good.
All right, man. Get me your address and I'll get it to Brett. So until next week, keep it canon.